Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this evening to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, and starting in verse number 31. It's good to see everyone here tonight. So good to have our visitors here tonight. Amen. Two babies. Amen. If they start crying, don't you worry about it. We need babies in the house of God. Amen. Amen. So we'll just keep on going like that. We don't even hear it, all right? Praise God. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 31 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. If you would help me pray, and let's ask for God's hand on this service. God's presence has already been in this house. Amen. But we want him to continue to work in this service. Lord Jesus, we love you today. God, we're thankful for your anointed word, God. We ask that you would allow it to minister to every need and to every heart in this house, God, and that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen. You could be seated tonight. Amen. The word seek there in verse 33 that we read, just to give you a little bit of a background, the word seek there means desire, something to desire something or to endeavor for something. It means to seek after something. The word first there means firstly. It means firstly in time, in place, in order, or in importance. It means before. It means at the beginning or chiefly. Amen. I want us to think about that for a minute. I know whenever we read that, first means first, and I know that's not a profound statement, but do we really understand what it means when we put these words together? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're talking about seeking God first, but how do we go about doing that? If we look at the definitions, we can put these two together. We can, if we're seeking God first, we would be desiring firstly in time, in place, in order, or importance, God. So we would be desiring God in time. We would be desiring God in place, in order, and importance. Are we showing God our desire for him by putting him as our priority in the course of our day? Amen. Are we giving him the time and the focus that he deserves? Amen. I know we live in a busy world. We live in a busy generation. Amen. But are we giving God the time that he deserves? Amen. Is he the most important thing in our lives? As we search through our minds and we think about the things that we've got to do through the course of the day, where does God rank in these things? Where does our relationship with him rank in these things? Amen. If we go into those definitions, to seek God first means to endeavor for before everything else. Are we endeavoring for God before everything else in our lives? Are we putting him at the beginning instead of at the end? Amen. Are we seeking him in the beginning of the day instead of right before we go to bed and we say, oh, I've made it through the whole day and I haven't prayed to God one time? Amen. That doesn't mean that we only seek God when we first start living for him, but it says that we need to endeavor for God every day of our life. Every day that we walk with him, every day that we live upon this earth, we need to be endeavoring for God just as we did in the very beginning. Amen. If we seek God first, we seek after him chiefly. Amen. He's the most important thing that we're seeking. God and his righteousness should be the most important thing that we seek after in this life. Amen. Above everything else. And that's a tall order. Amen. We've got a lot of things that are pulling for our attention. We've got a lot of things that are important in our lives. Amen. The Bible is full of verses that talk about seeking after the Lord. And you don't have to turn to all of these. I'll read through them. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11. It says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually." Amen. Not just every once in a while, but continually. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Amen. If there's ever been a time in our nation's history that we need to be praying this prayer, it's right now. Amen. If my people will, which are called by my name, I know that was referring to Israel, but we as Gentiles, we as spiritual seed of Abraham are called by his name, and we need to humble ourselves, and we need to seek his face and turn from any wickedness. Amen. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Amen. I wonder tonight, are we seeking God with our whole heart? Amen. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Amen. Has anybody felt the presence of God in this house tonight? Amen. If we seek him and we call upon him tonight, he can be found. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. It's important to seek for God. These are just a few of the countless verses. There's so many verses in the Bible that talk about the importance of seeking the Lord. Amen. But if we look at these verses, it isn't a lackadaisical, take it or leave it kind of seeking. Amen. It isn't a type of seeking that, you know, if I feel God, okay, and if I don't feel God, that's fine too. But it's something, there's a desire, there's something beyond that. It's not a take it or leave it type of seeking, but it's not seeking God in a casual manner, but it's seeking God like there's no tomorrow. It's seeking God like we're not going to have another opportunity, so I've got to touch God tonight. Or I've got to touch God tomorrow morning. Or I've got to touch God today. Amen, because tomorrow may not come. It's that type of seeking. It's seeking with a heartfelt desire, as Psalm says, seeking him with our whole heart. Amen, with all of our being. Amen. We don't want to seek God in a casual manner. Amen. When we come to the house of God, or when we pray to him in our own prayer closet, we don't want to seek him in a casual manner, because we're not going to find him that way. Amen. God is not drawn to somebody that could take it or leave it whenever it comes to seeking God. But God is drawn to somebody that has a heartfelt desire to feel his presence and to draw close to him. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this, and let me put it to you this way. If someone gave you a bag full of $1 million, amen, and you had that bag and you were carrying it around, maybe you handcuffed it to your wrist so nobody could take it away, and you got home and you took it off of your wrist and you set it down somewhere, and you went about the course of your business, and you came back later and that bag was gone. Amen. Let me ask you tonight, would you be looking for it? Amen. Would you be seeking for it? Amen. You wouldn't be just tiptoeing through the tulip saying, "Well, you know what, I hope it turns up." Amen. Or, "Oh, you know, it's all right. It'll show up sometime. It's got to be here somewhere. I must have just..." No, you would be tearing your house upside down and inside out until you found that bag, wouldn't you? I know I would be. Praise God, because money's important. $1 million is a lot of money. Amen. But you know what? Our God is worth a whole lot more than $1 million tonight. Amen. So when we can't find him, I wonder, are we turning our house upside down? Are we turning it inside out until we can feel his presence? Until we can find him? Until we can seek him? Amen. Or is that the type of seeking that we're doing for God? Amen. There's times when you pray that you find him immediately. There's times that you pray that you've literally got to turn your house upside down to be able to feel his presence. Amen. That's the type of seeking that I'm talking about tonight. Amen. There's a story that I read about a proud young man, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but it's a good story, all right? There's a story about a proud young man who came to the wise Socrates, asking him for knowledge. He walked up to the philosopher and he said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized a man that was being pompous and asking for the wrong reasons when he saw one, and so he led the man through the streets to the sea, and chest deep into the water. Amen. He then asked the man, "What do you want?" And the man got a smile on his face, and he said, "Oh, wise Socrates, I desire knowledge." And so Socrates put his strong hand on the man's shoulder, and he pushed him under the water and counted to 30. 30 seconds passed, and eventually Socrates let him up out of the water, and the man was gasping for air. He said, "What do you want?" And he asked him again. And the man said, "Wisdom," the man sputtered as he was trying to get the water cleared from his mouth. "Oh, great wise Socrates, I desire wisdom." Socrates crunched him under again. This time, 30 seconds passed, 35, 40, and eventually Socrates let him up. The man was gasping for air. "What do you want, young man?" Between heavy, heavy breathings, the fellow wheezed out, "Knowledge, oh wise and wonderful," and he dunked him back under the water. Socrates jammed him again, 40 seconds, 45, 50, and eventually he let him up. "What do you want?" "Air," he screeched. "I need air." Amen. And to this, Socrates answered, "When you want knowledge as you have just wanted air, then you will have true knowledge." Amen. To this, this story, I know it's a kind of a funny story, but I want to ask you, how bad do you want it? How bad did this man want knowledge and wisdom? Amen. Let me ask you this tonight. How bad do you want God? Amen. How bad do you want Him tonight? Amen. When you want Him as bad as you want air. Amen. When you want Him as bad as the things that you require just to function and to live upon this earth. Amen. Then you will truly desire Him like you need to. Amen. Maybe instead of just simply seeking God, and I'm not downplaying the scriptures that talk about seeking God, but maybe rather than just simply seeking God, maybe we need to step it up a little bit and we need to pursue God. Amen. There's a difference between seeking and pursuing. Amen. 3 to 4 weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and this is a true story. I'm not just making this up, but I woke up in the middle of the night from a dream. And in this dream, I was hunting, and I'm not an avid hunter, but in this dream, I was hunting, and I didn't recognize anybody that was around me, but I was walking around with a group of men, and I just remember that we were all dressed in the proper attire, the hunting gear, and we had rifles in our hands, and collectively, we were chasing after this prey, and we would go from one area to another area, and we would go from this area, and the prey had eluded us, and we would go to another area, and the prey had eluded us again. And each time that we would get close, the prey would be gone, and we would go elsewhere. And we desired this prey. We desired to find it. We desired to hunt after it. And at the end of the day, after being exhausted and having nothing to show for it, we came together in some kind of a meeting room. I remember this in my dream. And in this room, there was a woman. Again, it was nobody that I recognized. And she came up to me, and she spoke to me, and she spoke to the group of us. And she said this, and it really stuck with me. She said, "If people would pursue God like they pursue everything else in this world, can you imagine the outcome?" Amen. I'm going to say that again. If people would pursue God like we pursue everything else in this life, can you imagine the outcome that we would have? And after I woke up, and since that time, that has stuck in my head so vividly. Amen. I know it was a kind of a strange dream and how it came about, but it brought to light us pursuing something, me pursuing something in this life. I looked up the word pursue in the original Hebrew, and the word pursue there, it means to run after. It means to chase something. It means to follow after something or to hunt it. Amen. I didn't know that when I had this dream, but I looked it up, and that's in the definition. It means to hunt something. Amen. I want to ask us tonight, what are we pursuing in this life? What are we pursuing? Amen. There's a lot of things that we can pursue. Amen. Amen. Are we pursuing financial security? Are we pursuing wealth? Amen. Those are noble things to pursue after. Amen. Are we pursuing a bigger home? Amen. Are we pursuing success on our job? Maybe a raise or a promotion on our job. Are we pursuing higher education? Amen. Are we pursuing material possessions? Are we pursuing entertainment? Are we pursuing the latest technology or the latest craze? Amen. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of these things. Amen. I'm not preaching against any of these things. God knows that we have to work. God knows that we need to make money to survive in this world. God knows that we need a bigger home or a home, a nice home to stay in. Maybe not a bigger one right now, but God knows that we need a good job. We need success on our job, and we want to be favored. We want God to bless us. Amen. God knows that we need education. Amen. If we're going to further ourselves in this world. God knows that we need possessions, although we may not need all the material possessions that we want. There are things that we need. Amen. God knows that we need things in this world. Amen. I'm not downplaying them. God desires to bless those that are faithful to Him. Amen. But I want to ask us, are we pursuing God like we pursue our careers? Amen. Do we have the same type of pursuit for our career, for our God that we have for our career? Amen. We like to elevate ourselves. We like to build ourselves up. We like to promote ourselves to our boss. And amen. We want them to see our accomplishments. We want them to give us a raise. We want them to give us a promotion. Amen. And so we go out of our way to show our benefit and our value to our company. Amen. Because we want them to see us, and we're pursuing a higher position. We're pursuing a title or a promotion. Amen. But we put a lot of effort into it. Are we putting the same effort into pursuing God tonight? Are we pursuing God as much, or if not more, than we're pursuing our education? Amen. Education is good. We need to understand things. But all wisdom comes from God. Amen. If we read the book of Ecclesiastes and the Proverbs, the conclusion of all matters, the conclusion of all wisdom is to what? To fear God and to keep His commandments. Amen. That supersedes all education that we can have. We can be the smartest person in the entire world. We can have degrees, and I'm not downplaying them at all tonight. Amen. But if we don't have God, if we don't have the wisdom of God, amen, then we don't have anything. Amen. It's better to pursue Him. Are we pursuing God like we pursue the next game or the next song or the form of entertainment that's going to be here today and gone tomorrow? Amen. How often do we sit in front of a screen, an iPad, or a phone? How often do we sit in front of a game or an entertainment, some form of entertainment, for hours on end? And we get done and we realize, I don't have anything to show for it. Amen. When we're young, and it's the 4th of July, I'm not trying to downplay anybody's fun. Amen. But we spend money on fireworks. And then you get a little bit older and you realize that all you're doing is literally setting your money on fire. Amen. And I'm not downplaying it. We're going to have some. Our boys are going to shoot some fireworks off. We're going to have a good time. But you come to a place in life and an understanding that you realize that there are things that are more important than other things. And I remember when I was young and when I began to get older, that God maybe gave me a revelation that, maybe I didn't want to spend my money on the things that didn't last. I didn't want to spend my money on the things that weren't lasting. Amen. And so I would try to get things that would last at least a little bit longer than a pack of bubble gum or a candy bar that was going to be here today and gone in a minute or less. But how often are we seeking for things in this life to entertain us? And they're not lasting. Amen. We're all guilty of it. We've sat in front of our iPad, or we've sat in front of even a book, something that's a distraction to us, that's taking away from God. And we read it or we look at it, and an hour or 2 hours, 3 hours go by, and we get done and we're like, wow, I've been sitting here for 3 hours, man. It just seems like 5 minutes. And then we go to our prayer closet and we begin to touch God and we begin to seek His face, and we get through 5 minutes, and man, has it been 3 hours yet? Amen. Are we pursuing God the same way we're pursuing everything else? Amen. If you answered no to any of these questions tonight, then you're in good company. Amen. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We've all fallen short. And I'm thankful that God doesn't give up on us. He just keeps on nudging us. Amen. He keeps on calling us. He keeps on pulling on our heartstrings and trying to tell us, I want a relationship with you. I want a deeper, if I've got a relationship, I want a deeper relationship with you. I desire a little bit more of your time. I desire a little bit more of your seeking. I want you to pursue me like you're pursuing everything else in this life. Amen. Amen. We've all fallen short in this area. But he just keeps on nudging us. He just keeps on pushing us to pursue him a little bit more. Amen. It's him that we should be seeking for, not the cares of this life. Amen. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. Turn there with me tonight. Acts 17 and 24. It says, God that made the world and all things therein. Amen. We serve a great God. He is the one that created everything that we see and everything that we don't even understand today. Amen. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Everything that we have comes from God. Amen. Well, I went to work and I made money and I bought that with my money. Who gave you the job? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the ability to earn that money? Everything that we have comes from God. Even the things that we think we want and desire, even though we don't really need them. Amen. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Amen. Did you know that I can't jump up and decide I'm going to fly one day? Because God put boundaries on me. God put boundaries on all of us. Amen. But God also put a desire in our heart. He put an empty spot, if you will, in our heart that only he can fill. He put a place in our heart that the money and the riches of this world can't fulfill. He put a place in our heart that entertainment cannot fulfill. He put a place in our heart that sin certainly cannot fulfill. Amen. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of our habitation. But then it goes on in verse 27, it says, the reason that he did all this was so that they could seek the Lord. Amen. So that we could seek him, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Amen. We felt his presence in this house tonight. Amen. He's not very far away. Amen. And it doesn't just happen in church service. Amen. You can feel the presence of God in your home while you're driving down the street. Amen. You can feel the presence of God. He's not very far away. Amen. If we'll just seek after him. Amen. God isn't a million miles away. Amen. Yes, he's in heaven. Amen. But he's everywhere down here. The Bible tells us, or if you study it out, God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. That means while he's sitting up in heaven upon his throne, he's down here in the midst of us as well. And you know what? He's having church in other places tonight as well. Amen. He's not a million miles away. He's here in this building tonight. He's as close as the mention of his name. And he desires for every one of us to be able to pursue him and to seek after him with everything that we've got in us. Amen. That's what I want to do. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, all of those instances, it doesn't say, it might be given unto you. It could be offered, or it could be found. Maybe hope so, maybe so. Would be open. No, every single time it said it shall be given unto you. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. That's definitive. That's a definite. Amen. That's a promise of God. Amen. And we know that we can stand upon the promises of God because God cannot lie. Amen. So if he said, ask and ye shall, and it shall be given unto you when we ask, amen. Well, let's read on in verse 8. What happens? For everyone that asks receives. Not some people, not most people, but everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. Every single person. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen. That's good news for every single one of us here tonight. Because if we're seeking God, he can be found. He will be found. When we seek him, we have a promise. Amen. We read it there tonight. Seek and you shall find. Amen. When we do our part, when we seek God, when we pursue Him as the most important thing in our life, God is going to be found. Amen. Are you thankful for that tonight? Amen. So where do we start? Where do we start in seeking for God? Amen. In the verse we read, it tells us that we should seek God and His righteousness. Amen. What does that mean? What does it mean to seek after righteousness? What is righteousness? That's a big word. Well, if we break it down, the first five letters of that word is right. And so if we are seeking righteousness, we are in essence seeking to be right with God. Amen. We have a desire to be right with God. We want God to be pleased with the things that we're doing. In this relationship, amen, we want Him to be pleased with what we're doing. On your job, you want your boss to be pleased with what you're doing. Right? Amen. If he's not, you're not going to have a job very long. Amen. If he's not pleased with what time you're getting to work, you better get there a little bit earlier. Amen. So when we seek for the righteousness of God, we're seeking to be right with God. Amen. We start this by getting into His Word, and we see what it says. What does the Word of God have for me? What direction would God have me to go? What Word would He have me to see? Amen. The Bible is our handbook. Amen. There's an old acronym, I guess it is. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. That's what the Bible is to us. Amen. This is what God has given to us. He's given us His law. He's given us His commandments. He's given us His Word so that we can understand it and so that we can apply it to our lives. Amen. We start by getting into His Word and seeing what it says. And then we read it, we study it, we understand it, we hear people preach about it, and we accept it. We say, okay, God, if Your Word says it, amen, then I'm going to do it. Amen. Seeking God is more than just picking a few scriptures that we like and just lining up with those. Amen. Because we can do that. We can read through the Word of God. If you want to find something that applies to your situation, I guarantee you, if you look it up, you can find a verse and you can read it out of context and you can say, well, God's Word said that I can do this or that I can go this direction because I read it in His Word. Amen. But that's not really reading God's Word, because we need to read it in context. We need to read what it says before that verse and what it says after that verse and how that applies to us. Who was He writing to? Was He writing to people that were already saved? Was He writing to people that weren't saved? Amen. Because there's a difference. So we don't just look at the Word of God and infer what we want in it, but we read the Word of God at face value. And we say, God, if Your Word says it, I accept it. Amen. I'm not just going to pick out a few verses. I'm just going to throw the Old Testament away because it doesn't apply to me anymore. Amen. The Bible says that the Old Testament is our schoolmaster to bring us into the new. There's so much depth in the Old Testament. Amen. But even if we're just looking at the new, we can find the plan of salvation. We can find the gospel. Amen. Which is the good news. Amen. That God brought to us. Amen. The good news is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He died. Amen. He died upon the cross. We know that he was buried, and we know that He was resurrected. Amen. On the third day. And that's good news. That's good news to all of us. But it goes beyond just the good news, because it applies to us. Amen. The good news applies to us in that we need to die. Oh, well, none of us want to die. Well, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about dying in repentance. I'm talking about dying out to this old fleshly lifestyle. Amen. When we see something in the Word of God and we see something in our life that doesn't line up to the Word of God, that's where repentance comes in. That's where we ask God to forgive us and we turn from that sin. We turn from whatever it is that's not pleasing to God. And then as Christ died and then was buried, we are buried with Him, the Bible says, by baptism into death. We are buried with Him when we are baptized in Jesus' name, in water baptism. Amen. But He didn't stay dead, and we don't have to stay under the water. Amen. As Christ rose, we raise in a newness of life. The Bible says, behold, all things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become brand new. Amen. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. We become a new person, if you will. Amen. We still have the same personality. We still have the same memory. We remember all the things we've always done. Amen. But we become a new person because we're living a new life, a regenerated life in resurrection power. Amen. That's what God does when he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so God tells us that in his word. He tells us that we need to follow that gospel plan. And you know what? We have the choice of whether or not we can accept it. We have the choice of whether or not we can take it or we can just leave it. Amen. There was a man in the New Testament that came to God with this type of an attitude. Amen. He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what shall I do that I shall have everlasting life? What shall I do that I shall obtain eternal life? And Jesus, looking at him, knew everything that was going on in his life. And he said, keep this commandment and do this and do this. And he named off several of the commandments. And this man was probably feeling pretty good about himself. He said, Lord, I've done all of that since my youth. What do I lack? What else do I have to do? He was probably feeling pretty good about himself. I've been a good person my whole life. I've helped people out. I've been generous. I've been kind to people. I go to church. Amen. What else do I have to do? And he said, oh, nothing much. Just sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible tells us that he went away sorrowfully. Amen. Because he wasn't willing to give God everything. He wasn't willing to pursue God with everything that he had. Amen. Seeking God is, like I said, more than just picking a few scriptures that we like and lining up with them. But seeking God is considering the entire Word of God and using it, using the Word of God to judge us and to judge where we are and what we need to work on. Amen. Because none of us have arrived. None of us have made it. None of us are perfect. Amen. And if you are, I give you some applause tonight. Amen. Because you have arrived. Amen. But none of us have arrived. I'm not going to be clapping for anybody tonight. Amen. None of us have arrived. But we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have areas that we need to work on. We all have I know I've got a long ways to go with God. Amen. And every day is a part of that journey. Amen. But I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to get closer to Him. I'm not going to be able to draw closer to Him. I'm not going to be able to feel more of His presence. I'm not going to be able to be used like He wants me to be used until I start pursuing Him like I pursue everything else in this life. Amen. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Amen. God knows the things that we need. Amen. We read it in the verses tonight. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need shelter. Amen. He knows that we need clothing. He knows we need things to drink. Our bodies would not survive without these things. God knows that we need those things. And it's His desire to take care of His children. It's His desire to take care of everybody here. Amen. At the end of the verse, though, we read that when we seek God first and His righteousness, amen, that He is going to take care of everything else. God's going to take care of everything else that we need. If we, as God's children, and every single one of us here are the children of God, amen, we are all made in His image to be like Him. Amen. If we will pursue God like we pursue everything else in this life, can you imagine the revival that we would have? Can you imagine the church services that we would have? Amen. Can you imagine the people that we would be able to reach? If we, as we walk and we go through the course of our day, we remember in our mind and keep it in the forefronts of our mind that I need to pursue God. I need to pursue Him. I don't just need to seek Him. That's good. It's good to seek God and His righteousness. But I need to be pursuing Him. I need to be hunting for Him. I need to be looking for Him. I've got to find Him. There's no question about it. It's not an option. I've got to find Him. If we have that type of mentality, can you imagine in these last days the type of revival that we could have? Amen. I want that. Do you want that tonight? Amen. I want to see these pews filled with hungry hearts, with souls that are seeking after God, God filling people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the New Testament, when the New Testament church was born, every time they came together, there was more that were added unto the church. There were people that were saved, that were filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see that type of outpouring. I want to see outpouring like the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 souls were added unto the church, where 120 were added unto the church. Amen. Well, that happened back in Bible days. God's not doing that. God can still do that. My God doesn't change. Amen. So what changes? Amen. What changes is that as we go farther and farther into this world, we drift farther and farther away from God. There are so many more things that are pulling us and trying to pull us away from God. And these things are distractions. These things are distractions, they're hindrances. Amen. But if we pursue God with everything we've got in it. Amen. I'm not telling you what you've got to do, but I'm telling you, I'm making a commitment to God tonight. I'm going to pursue Him more than I pursue anything else in this world. Amen. God gave me that dream. Amen. And I believe that it was for me. And I'm not just trying to chuck it over my shoulder. God gave me a dream and it's for everybody. It's for everybody else here, but not for me. But that's not what I'm trying to say. God gave me that dream for myself. Amen. And I'm taking it to heart and I'm going to apply it to my life. But I believe that God gave it to me for our church and for every single one of us that are here tonight to make a commitment that we're going to pursue God as much, if not more, than we're pursuing the things of this life. Amen. Let me ask you tonight, what are you pursuing the most in your life? Amen. And if it's God, praise God, keep it up. But if there's something else that you're putting more effort in, if there's something else that you're putting more of your time and your energy into pursuing, amen, let's pursue God more. Amen. Let's put that energy towards God. What are you doing for God? What are we doing for the kingdom of God? What are we doing? Are we laying up treasures for heaven? Are we laying up treasures where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves cannot break in and steal? Amen. Are we laying up things that God can bless? What are we doing for God? Oh, well, I pray for people, and that's great. You need to keep praying for people. Oh, well, I'm teaching a Bible study. That's great. We need to teach Bible studies. Amen. I'm involved in Sunday school, and I'm not downplaying any of that. That's essential. Amen. But if you're not doing something for God, why don't you find something that you can do for God? Amen. Why don't you come and ask Brother Wurst, ask Brother Reed, ask somebody, what can I do for God? What can I do in the kingdom of God? If it's just cleaning the church, if it's teaching a Sunday school class, is there a Bible study? Find someone on your job and offer to teach them a Bible study. Amen. Let's pursue God with everything we've got. Amen. Because I believe that God has a revival in these last days, but I believe also that He's waiting on the church to get a hold of that pursuit. I believe that He's waiting on us as the church to get hungry, hungry enough that we're going to pursue Him more than anything in this life. Amen. And if we will, God's going to pour out revival. Amen. I take it as a prophecy. I mean, take it as the word of God. Amen. God has revival for the church. We've got to pursue Him. Amen. We've got to pursue Him. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Why don't we lift our hands right now? Why don't we just make some commitments? Why don't we talk to God right now? And let's just seek His face right now. Let's seek what He would have for us to do. Let's seek what His will would be for our lives. God wants to talk to us. God wants to talk to every individual here tonight. God, what's your desire for my life? God, what do you desire for me? What direction do you want me to go in, God? Lord, I submit to you, God. Whatever you speak to me about, whatever direction you want me to go in, God, I want to be sensitive to it, God. I want to submit to it, God. God, I trust you for it today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, I'm trusting you. God, I worship you.
Come on, let's talk to the Lord for a moment here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody lift your voice with me tonight. Somebody lift your voice with me tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.